Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn together to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we are continuing where we left off last week in a message entitled, A Plea for an Awakening. A Plea for an Awakening. And I want to kind of set the stage as we continue our message today. Asa has been king of Judah now for 15 years, and they've been just trundling along. At the beginning of his reign, he instituted some reforms that took place in the country. They cut down some groves and they kind of slowed down some of the process of the idol worship that was in the land at that particular time. And then they just kind of coasted along for 15 years. And so God sent his servant Azariah to come and deliver a message to King Asa. It was an important message. It was a message to hear, to heed God's word, because God wanted Asa to get up and start moving. He wanted him to awaken from sleep. Asa had allowed his country to fail in many ways, to fail to draw nigh to God. Oh, how easy it is to sit back in our lazy boy chairs in Christianity and say, okay, God, we just want you to work in our behalf. Lord, we want you to do this, and Lord, we want you to do that while we do nothing. There's no effort on our part to draw near to God, and we learned last week, especially, this important truth in verse 2, the Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you. God was wanting to stop movement in that direction. The children of Judah, the king of Judah, were all moving in this direction where God was going to have to forsake them. Why? Because they were forsaking Him. They were forsaking Him. And so we emphasized this last week in our study. Now, it's so important, folks, that we be on God's frequency. It's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to be tuned in on God. Now, you know, we live in the days of digital radios, and we don't have this problem very much anymore. You hit a button, you got the station. And for the most part, it's clear because most of the new radios and vehicles today have little amps in there to help pick up the signal. So when you're driving around town, you can get it. But, you know, some vehicles may have the old radio systems in it, the old dial type where you had to turn the dial. And you had to sit there and work it back and forth to try to get it to come in on the station. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, there's a few of you still out here that know what I'm talking about. My first radio, I remember when I was a senior in high school, I got my first radio. It was one of those dial type AM, FM, shortwave type radios. And you'd be listening and all of a sudden you'd hear this static and you'd go over there and you'd try to get it tuned back in on the station. So many times you get lazy and you just get used to the static, right? You say, I'm not going to get up and go fix that thing. I'll just try to listen harder, okay? And you get used to the static. Now, God wants a clear signal, does He not? He wants us to be tuned in on His frequency, and He doesn't want any static on that. Asa had allowed the kingdom of Judah to tune out on God. Isn't it interesting that when God sent His prophets, He always sent them to the king? He sent them to the king. He sent His prophets to the king. Why? They were in charge of the leadership of Israel. And as we're going to see, there were three particular areas that King Asa had failed at as a king in regard to the worship of Jehovah. We've been taking the title of A Plea for Awakening because this is exactly what God was seeking to do in Asa's heart. He was wanting to wake him up. He was a good man. Don't mistake me here. Here's a good man, but he's asleep at the wheel. You know, it's easy for good people to get sidetracked. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to talk about the rabbit trail, about how he used to have a dog when he was growing up that whenever he was supposed to be hounding, going after opossums, he would sidetrack on a rabbit, take off on a rabbit trail. Now, if you're out looking and hunting for possums, you don't want a dog that's running after rabbits. You don't want rabbits. You want possums. Now, I don't know any of you that would want a possum this morning, okay? You'd most likely want a rabbit, wouldn't you? If you were going to choose between the two for something to eat, I think I would be on the rabbit side too. But if you've got a dog that you've trained to hunt possums. You don't want that dog running down a trail that's after rabbits, because when you get down to the end, you're going to be looking at a rabbit through the barrel of the shotgun, and that's not what you went hunting for. And I'm afraid today that there are a lot of Christians that are exactly that way. They're asleep at the wheel. They're supposed to be honoring God. They're good people. They're not bad people. They're good people, but they are asleep. And God cries out, awake. It's interesting. I hear so much today about revival. There's whole now branches in Bible colleges on the theology of revival. And yet when you go to the New Testament, the word is only mentioned twice. It has nothing to do with revival in the sense that you hear about today. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. But when you go to the New Testament, you see this word awake. Let me give you the passages, and I'm just going to give you a few. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Now that's how the King James translated, but it's not the word for dead, it's for sleep. Wake up from your sleep, it's talking to Christians, and Christ shall give thee life. It's time for Christians to wake up. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, and doing this, knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. Who is he talking to? In that chapter, he's talking to Christians. It's high time to awake out of sleep. What does that say about Christians? We've already read in Ephesians. We've looked at Romans. There's a tendency for Christians to do what? Fall asleep. Just like for some of you, it's a tendency you get down in a pew, and Pastor Todd gets up, and we start going into sleep mode. Kind of work your way down into the pew there, you know. And then the eyes start going, and then you're off into na-na land, right? That's the same tendency for Christians. Here's another passage, lest you think we're going to get away with that. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Talking to the church there at Corinth. Awake three times. We find in the writings of the Apostle Paul, directed to churches, that we awake out of sleep. Here's a good man, Asa, godly man, a man that I believed if you were to go and ask him the question as he sat in his palace, do you love God? He would say, I love God with all my heart, but he allowed something to take place in his kingdom that ought not to have taken place. And I want to point that out today. As King Asa listens to Azariah, I want you to see here in verse 3, the condition of the country. Under a good king, the condition of a country. Verse 3, now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God. Now notice that. Which God? The true God. Oh, they had God, but he wasn't the true God. It was a manufactured God that they had in their hearts and minds. And without a teaching priest, and without law. This had taken place during the king's reign. He had not drawn near to God. You know, I wonder about people who come and they say, you know, I've tried reading my Bible, and I've tried to pray, and I work so hard at it, and I just don't seem to get anything out of it. Listen, folks, stop for just a moment. Who are you trying to kid? Who are you trying to kid? How can you just go on and on and on trying to read the Bible, trying to pray? Something's not right. Something's not right. More than likely, the reason is that you're not a regenerate, born-again Christian. You haven't come to faith in Jesus Christ. If it's a struggle and a trial, because God says right here, it's so simple, and yet it can be so complicated, that if we draw near unto Him, He will draw nigh unto us. If we seek Him, He will be found of you. So the problem was with us. The problem was with us. Now, Azariah testified to King Asa. He said, listen up, O king. There is no obedience to biblical authority in this country. And God's going to have to judge Judah. Unless there's a turning. Unless there is a turning back to God, because these three conditions are present. And I don't know how Asa may have responded immediately as he heard these things. I would imagine if he was like most of us, he became defensive. Not under my rule, these things aren't true, but God's letting him know it is true. Number one, I want you to see here, there was no true God. Good king. Chapter 14 records for us his appointment. Verse 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and brake down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord of their fathers and to do the law and commandment. And he also took away out of the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. These are all the good things that he had done early on. They came back into the kingdom, these groves and idols and so forth, and he didn't deal with it again. He was just letting things go on. Let me tell you, that happens so often in churches. It will happen in this church. It will happen in this church if we're not careful. That is to stand for what's right and then start taking it easy. Not talking about things that ought to be shored up in our lives, trying to stay away from those things and talking about popular things that people like to listen to. What will happen? It's like clearing a piece of land. You clear a piece of land, if you don't cut it, what happens? Yeah. You look at this area of woods right out here, you would never know that 20 years ago, we cleared that property back down, except for a few trees, cleared it all the way back down into the deep gully that's back out there in the back of the property. Now it's all grown back up. What happened? Well, we didn't keep it cut down over that particular time. You don't keep it cut down, the woods is going to come back. The forest is going to grow back. And the same thing is true in a nation. The same thing is true in a church. The same thing is true at home. If moms and dads and pastors and leaders do not keep the course on right, it will go what? It will go wrong. You will steer off the path. Unless someone is actively steering the car down the right road, it doesn't matter how many good intentions you have as you turn around to look into the back seat and let go of the steering wheel, that vehicle is going to veer off because you're not paying attention. Asa had gone to sleep at the wheel, and during that particular time, it says here, for a long season Israel hath been without the true God. So what did they have? What did Israel have? They were still worshiping in the temple. They were still exercising their faith, but it wasn't in the true God. Boy, that's dangerous, is it not? What do we need? We need an awakening. Under the good king's rule, these were the conditions that in the nation of Israel, in the nation of Judah, they were not following the true God. They were following a God of their own notions. I want to tell you something, folks. It's very easy to make a God in your own likeness. We see it all the time. There are newspaper articles and blogs where you read them, and there are people that are making up things about God almost on an hourly basis. They make up stuff. They didn't get it from the Word of God. They got it from their own opinion about the Word of God. They have made God into this great grandfatherly figure that kind of looks down from heaven. He said, you know, I'd really like to help those folks down there, but, you know, they're doing okay. They're doing all right. They're really trying hard. I think they've got a good heart about things. You know, I know that they're not following my Bible. And they walked away from that, but, you know, I don't want to get involved in their lives. I want to tell you something, folks. That's utter nonsense. That's utter nonsense. If you belong to Him, He's a good dad. He's a good dad. A good dad doesn't let his children get away with things. Hebrews tells us that He chastens us betimes. That's a quotation from the book of Proverbs. That word betimes means a lot. Okay? That means a lot. If you don't have the chastening hand of God in your life, I'd start wondering. Wouldn't you? But if you're asleep, you don't care, do you? If you're asleep, you just go along, and God sent along His prophet Asa to wake him up and say, Asa, you've gone to sleep. You've got to wake up. Let me tell you about the conditions in the land. The people are not following the true God. They're following a God made up in their own hearts and minds. Number two, I want you to see this. It says here, there was no teaching priest. It doesn't say that there were no priests. There were priests there. What is he saying here? There were no teaching priests. What had happened to the mouth of the priest? Not going to say anything. I know that there's sin in the camp. I see what's going on here, but I'm not going to say anything. You know what? The ebb and tide of fundamentalism today is keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Don't ruffle any feathers. Don't do it. And that's exactly the attitude that was in place during this particular time. There was no teaching priest. There are priests. They are sacrificing. They put the bread faithfully in the tabernacle, in the temple. They make sure that the bread gets changed every week. They make sure that the oil is put into the lantern. They make sure all the animals are sacrificed properly. But there was nobody in the priesthood that was teaching. And you know what their specific job was to do? Was to teach the people the difference between the holy and the profane. You read that throughout the book of Leviticus. That the priest taught the people the difference between the holy and the profane. This is what is wrong. This is what is right. But what do we find today? Well, you know what? I'm not so sure about things. You know, there's a lot of gray areas. No, there's not a lot of gray areas. If that were the case, then Romans chapter 14 would have a lot more than two instances, don't you think, that we've been talking about? We're going to be dealing with that tonight, about personal responsibility in that regard. The gray areas are not as gray when you get into the Word and let it speak. You know, some people now read their Bibles and they read passages that are very pointed and they just kind of, ooh, that's a little too pointed for me. Yeah, that's the Bible. The Bible's a sword. You don't tickle people with swords. You know, when they went out to battle, back whenever warfare was warfare, you know, nowadays you sit back 21 miles away and you hit a button and a rocket goes out and kills the bad people over 21 miles away. They don't even see you. Or maybe it's a little bitty drone being flown by somebody in Colorado, but it's over in Afghanistan. It's kind of easy to separate yourself from warfare, is it not? But I want you to know, back in the days whenever they used to have real swords on the end of their guns and they used to have sabers, they didn't go in there and say, No, they went in there to kill. They went in there to kill. We were up at Pickett's Mill up in Georgia back over the summertime, and they were talking about how they had hand-to-hand combat and how that some of the Southern forces were low on ammunition, so all they had was bayonets and swords. And they stayed in the battle until they were basically all gone on the second day of the fighting. They'd used up all their ammo on the previous day. They didn't get resupplied, and as a result, all they had was bayonets, and they charged one after another, with all they had was their sword. Okay? That's serious business, is it not? That's serious business. And you and I have the sword. And God has the sword, and sometimes He has to take it, He has to trim, He has to cut, He has to bring to our heart's mind an understanding of where we ought to be. And here it is in Judah, and here's the king. Everything's just going along fine as far as he's concerned, but Azariah says, listen, you've got priests, but they're not teaching. They're not teaching. They've been silenced. They've been muzzled. Take the muzzle off the priests and let them start teaching the people again, because the people now don't know the difference between the holy and the profane. They were worshiping idols. They didn't know the difference. How did that happen? Because a good king went to sleep. How will it happen in your home, dads? It'll happen in your home when you go to sleep. Mamas, how will it happen in your home? It'll happen when you go to sleep. This is a plea to awake. Wake up! Things going on that ought not to be going on. You see, folks, without knowledge, the people wander deep into error and open sin. Without knowledge. The knowledge of God, we're told in John 17:3 and Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. We will not take time to look at that. But the knowledge of God, the Bible says, is life. So if you don't have the knowledge of God, what do you have left? Well, religion says we're going to create what we call religious life, and we'll have that instead. No, what you are creating is death, certain death. Death for your children. Death for your family if you're not following God's Word, because the knowledge of God giveth life. You read that throughout the Proverbs. The knowledge of God giveth life. And yet what are we doing? We move further and further and further away from the Word of God. So you're moving further and further away from life in Him. Boy, this is a reality that needs to be proclaimed. Let me tell you, our nation needs God. Our nation needs God. If you don't see this, folks, you need to have your eyes opened. You need to be wakened up. What's taking place in our country? And I tell you what, we don't need revival. You know what we need? We need an awakening. And we need repentance preached. You know, I compared the words revival and repentance in the New Testament. Over 100 times the word repentance is used in the Bible. And many of those times, especially in the Gospels and in the New Testament, that was the message. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But today, the emphasis today is on revival. But you can't revive what's dead. You can't revive what's dead. The assumption is what? These are people that are really alive. We just need to give them a little bit of CPR. Okay? Let's slap on the AED, put the patch on them, and we'll see where they stand. We'll see what it tells us to do. Oh, they just need a little bit of air. Okay, we'll pump in a little bit of air, and that'll give them some revival. Listen, folks, we've been hearing about revival now for 100 years in this country. Let's just be honest about it. We've been talking about revival, revival, revival for 100 years, and people are further and further from God. We don't need revival. We need awakening. We need repentance to be preached from every pulpit in America. But it's not. Because the belief is we're basically a Christian nation. We just need to get our priorities in order. Let me tell you something. You can die and go to a devil's hell with your priorities in order. But if you haven't come to faith in Jesus Christ, there's no hope. There's no hope. We need the message of repentance proclaimed. We need to wake up and see how far we've come from God. Like a boat that gets untied from the dock. For the first hour or so, you may hover close to the dock. But if you fall asleep in that boat, take a nap, what's going to happen? You're going to wake up at the dock? No. That boat's going to drift, and it's going to drift. And there are a lot of people today in fundamentalism that have crawled into the boat, the rope's untied from the dock, and we're floating off, and we don't even know it. God, help us to wake up. We've got to get back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to get back to the truth. Here was a good king that did not even know what was going on in his country. He did not realize that the vast majority of the people had turned from the true and living God to a God of their own manufacture. They did not realize the priests were doing their jobs, and as they would go by the temple every day, they'd see the priests. Oh, they were busy, but they weren't doing what? They weren't teaching. What's happened to the pulpit in America today? We're talking about everything in the world, but teaching the difference between the holy and the profane. That's where we are today in our country. It's not a popular message, but I want you to see a third thing here in this verse 3. And without what? Say it out loud, please. Law. And without law. How could this be? Surely Azariah is wrong. He's got his facts wrong. He's not speaking for God. He's speaking for himself. No, he got the message from God. He said, we live in a land without law. And what has happened to the United States of America? We are a land without this book. Oh, we were founded. The very form of government that we have was founded on verses in the book of Isaiah. Three branches of government, legislative, executive, and judicial. They come from the Bible. And yet what have we done? We are declaring our freedom from God today. We're declaring freedom from God. We can do what we want to. You can't have morality apart from God. Do you understand that? There's no such thing as morality apart from God, because you don't have a fixed point that says this is right and this is wrong. It's like being out in the ocean floating. Isn't it interesting that when it talks about those who move away from doctrine, it always pictures it as those floating on a sea. They don't have a firm foundation. There was no law. There are preachers and teachers who substitute natural sentiment, human science, human morality, and self-satisfied philosophy for the doctrines of the Bible. The weak spiritual condition of the church is now the consequence. We are weakened. You might as well take the backbone from a man and expect him to stand up straight as to take doctrinal preaching out of the pulpit and expect Christians to stand up straight for God. If you take the backbone out of a man and say, all right, now we operated, we took your backbone out, we want you to stand up. Can a man stand up? My dear grandmother, she passed away in 2006, suffered from osteoporosis very bad. Her backbone had collapsed in the last 5 years of her life. She was completely hunched over because her bones had crumbled in her back. And my grandmother, who used to be tall, stand up tall, wasn't able to anymore. Why? Because her backbone was gone. She wasn't physically able. The muscles could not overcome the lack of structure that was in her body at one time. Hard-working lady. She mowed her grass till she was 84 years old. Out there, she'd be out there every week doing it, cutting the grass. You know, and as kids, we were thinking up excuses why we wouldn't go out there and do it. It's too hot, Dad. Can't get the lawnmower started. Something's wrong with the blade. You know, all kinds of excuses. There's my grandmother out there doing the lawn. But when the backbone gave, she was not able to do that anymore. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. When the backbone is taken out of fundamentalism, it's no longer fundamentalism. When backbones are taken out of moms and daddies in the training of their children, unwillingness to stand up and follow the Word of God, then there's no hope for that home. There's no hope for a church when the backbone is removed, which is the Word of God and the willingness to stand for the Word of God. We've got some folks around the world today that are suffering persecution that are Christians that have got some backbone. They're willing to give their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. But in Judah in that time, there was no law. There was no backbone. You see, law is no good if it's not what? Enforced. This was the condition of Israel. They had the books. They had the tables. They had the two tables of the law. They had it in the temple. But no one was what? Enforcing it. We can have rules at Santa Rosa Christian School. We could write volumes of rules. But if we don't enforce them, they're just words on paper. And the same thing is true of this book. This book has all kinds of things in it for God's people, but if it's not enforced, if it's not put in practice in our lives and we're asleep, what happens? We become without law. We become without law. Honduras right now is experiencing some of the lawlessness that we're talking about here, not so much in the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm of rioting in the streets and shooting each other, robbing each other. It's the second poorest nation, I believe, in the world, Honduras. It's a place without law. Judah had become a place without law. It wasn't the ceremonial laws that they had left behind. It was God's laws that they had left behind. And Azariah is confronting Asa and said, King, it's your fault. You're the king. It's your responsibility to make sure that this country follows after God. It's your responsibility to make sure that the priests are teaching, that they are making a difference between the holy and the profane, and they're teaching the children, and they're teaching the teenagers, and they're teaching the adults, that there is a difference. It's interesting. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13 that lack of knowledge, because of lack of knowledge, the people had gone into captivity. Was this problem fully corrected? No. As we're going to see later on in our study of Asa, we're going to find that there were some segments. You look over at the latter part, verse 17 of this chapter. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. He left a few high places, and those high places came back to haunt Israel. Because within 100 years, they're going to be in captivity. They're going to be in captivity. And Isaiah tells us why. He tells us why in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13, lack of knowledge. They didn't know the difference between the holy and the profane. You go on, Hosea testified. He said this, for lack of knowledge, the people in his day were morally destroyed. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. They were morally, completely destroyed. Why? Lack of knowledge. They didn't know God's Word. They didn't know God's Word. Consequences everywhere. No peace. Great vexations. You read about in verse 4, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Why? Because they had turned away from God. There was no worship of the true and living God. There was no teaching priest. They were without law. King Asa, we've got a problem in the land. We've got a problem in the land. Azariah testified to Asa that his responsibility was to be strong and to not let his hands be weak, for his work would be rewarded. Notice this here in verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore. This is in the command form in the Hebrew. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. He exhorted him, first of all, to be tough. Get tough. Oh, we don't want a leader who's tough. We want a leader who gives us everything we want. We want a leader that agrees with us. No, he said, you need to get tough. Be strong and courageous. These exhortations to be strong and courageous have a large part in the Scriptures. I counted Joshua 1, 7 and 9, 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Numbers chapter 15 and verse 20, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, Proverbs 27 and verse 14, all of them say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You find it throughout the Word. Be strong in the Lord. And secondly, in that being strong, don't let your hands be weak. That was the problem that Asa had to start with. We saw all these things implemented early in his kingdom, and then they all came back in, and his hands became what? Became weak. He wouldn't lift his hand to restore the priesthood to its teaching role. He would not lift his hand to restore law and order according to the Scriptures. He would not raise his hands to draw the hearts of the people back to the true and living God. As a matter of fact, he was so deluded he didn't even know the true condition of the country. That was Asa, a good man, good king. But he had gone asleep. He had gone asleep. I wonder, there's some this morning, we're not done with this message because we're going to see that Asa's heart is stirred. It's not stirred completely though, but it is stirred, and there is a great turning back to God at this particular point in history, and God blesses it and allows there to be a period of time of great blessing after the restoration of the law of God. But I wonder if there are some here this morning that are just asleep. Just asleep. Don't realize what time it is in God's calendar. Don't realize how important it is to be walking with Him daily. Not having your time in God's Word, that's a sin, folks. If you're not in God's Word every day, you are sinning because you're not hearing His Word. You're not heeding His Word because you don't know what it is. You must be in His Word. You can't live on past blessings. Well, I heard a voice that spoke to me 10 years ago from a Bible verse. Don't live on that. Live on God speaking to you through His Word today. Today. He's got more to say than He did 10 years ago. He needs to be active in telling you through His Word how you ought to live. And you've got to be awake. You've got to be awake. This is a plea to awaken unto righteousness and sin not. That we awake from sleep, for it is high time that we awake and hear His Word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for the clarity of Your Word. And Lord, we've sought through the communication of Your Word this morning to communicate how important it is for us to be awake. Here was a good man, Asa, good king, godly man, but he grew weak with time. He wasn't willing to fight Your battles. He wasn't willing to bring things back into order. He just let things drift away from the anchor of the Word of God. And as a result, God, You sent Your servant, Azariah, to awaken the leadership and to show them that they needed to get back to Thee. But Lord, we need to get back to Thee, not only in America, but we need to get back to Thee in our own lives. We have so many things that are vying for our attention. So many things, and some of them are worthwhile things, but they're things nonetheless that draw our hearts away from Thee. Lord, we pray that Your Word would sink deep into our hearts this morning, that we might awaken and that we might hear what You have to say from Your Word to our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.